We're still in Matthew chapter 7. We're not done yet. Praise God. And we're in this Matthew 7 series, and we're actually this week in Know Them by Their Fruits part 2. Because we ain't quite get done. I didn't know it was going to be a two-parter. But then the Lord took service a whole different direction, so we got to finish what we started. Amen. We're about to do our Bible confession. You should be in Matthew chapter 7. But before we do, I want you to turn to your neighbor and look them in the eye and say, smile. God loves you and so do I. Smile. God loves you and so do I. Praise God. Hold your Bibles up in a comfortable position and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I'm a believer,
not a doubter.
I'm a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and by hearing,
and by hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Give him praise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yes, I mess up too. Praise the Lord. It's all good. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're in Matthew chapter 7. We're in Know Them by Their Fruit, part 2, and we're going to review just a little bit. And so last week we looked at verses 15 through 20, and I'm going to read 15, 16, 17, 18, and I want you to read 19 and 20 with me. So we're in Matthew chapter 7. We're looking at verses 15 through 20. We're going to add a few verses in a little bit. But we're going to review these few first. Amen? Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Begin. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Give God a praise offering for the word. And so we talked about this world that we're living in today. And really, that false prophets aren't a new thing. We said a lot of things last week. We said they're not new. They've been around in the Old Testament. They were around in the New Testament. And so write down Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5, and Jeremiah 23:16. So when you go home, study Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, and Jeremiah 23:16. Just a couple of Old Testament examples of false prophets. And so it's not a new thing. As soon as God blessed us with prophets, the devil created false prophets. So he's been trying to get us off our game for a long time. And so we're supposed to know them by their fruits. And fruits in the Greek means of works or deeds. And this is just review. Fruit being the visible expression of power, working inwardly and invisibly, the character of the fruit being evidence of the character of the power producing it. So you'll know a fruit, a person, by their fruit, because the power within them is producing the fruit, which means you have to stick around long enough to see the person grow the fruit. And we talked about briefly how we go to the grocery store to get fruit. We don't plant trees, watch them grow, and see what they produce, and then know that that's the kind of tree it is. If you are getting apples off the tree, you know it's an apple tree. But a lot of times in the way we live our life, and it's not a bad thing that other people grow our fruit for us, but we also need to understand that this being grown somewhere. And it's coming from a tree. These things have not changed. And so if you are looking at a prophet or anyone, and you are looking at the fruit, you need to make sure that the fruit is coming from the tree of that person. And what is inside them is producing that thing, is the thing that they say. Because false prophets will have a fruit for you, but then they didn't really get it from themselves, from the tree. We don't know what's on the inside. And so the word says, and by extension Jesus says, because it's in red, right? That a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And verse 19 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so this is kind of where we left off. We didn't really talk about how we know, well, who's doing the cutting down? Who's cutting the tree down? That's the question. The answer is, it ain't you. It's not your responsibility once you identify a false prophet to cut the tree down. That's not part of your role. You're just supposed to not believe, adhere to, rely on that person or what they have to say, because you know that it is bad fruit. All you got to do is bite into a bad fruit one good time. And I don't care what kind of fruit it is, if you've eaten a million apples, but you bite into one apple, I guarantee you, what I do is I cut them from now on so I can see what's going on in the inside before I put my mouth on it. And you done washed it all up. I think it probably, and Diane had some plums at the house the other day, it probably happens for me more often with plums, because the expectation for a plum is always to be sweet. Or whatever you like plums to be. Some of y'all like sour plums, and then you just satisfied, but I like sweet plums. And you feel it, and it feels soft enough, like it should be a good plum, and then you put your mouth on it, and you like, oh man, this is not good. You'll know bad fruit once you know it. So once you've experienced it, don't eat that anymore from that particular tree. And you are more careful in the way you proceed with fruit. The same thing should happen spiritually. It's not a slight against you if you are fooled by a false prophet, because they're supposed to be convincing. If they weren't convincing, you wouldn't believe them. They're supposed to get you to believe them. But the key is to always seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else gets added to you. Amen. And so verse 19 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So I want you to turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And when you get there, say, I have it. Now keep your finger in Matthew 7. We coming back. Verse 19 and 20 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit, praise God, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. If you're in John chapter 15, say, I have it. I want you to read verse 1 and 2 with me. John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Are you ready? Yes. Let's begin. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Give God a praise offering. So you want to know who cutting the branches down and burning them? God, not you. And Jesus says, he identifies himself in this picture. Jesus says, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser, and you the branch. And so to a certain extent, you have to determine whether you a good branch or not. But let me tell y'all, whether you good or bad, you getting cut. Did y'all catch that? Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So if you aren't bearing fruit, he's cutting the branch away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And so there is an upkeep that has to happen with vines in order for them to bear fruit. And I look at our yard, because I go outside and look at the yard. You know, we moved in 5 years ago, sort of. Moved in 5 years ago, and we trying to get over our parents' death and COVID, and everybody else is just making their yards all beautiful and like investing into their yards because they don't have nothing else to do during the day. I'm like, we working and trying to survive, and y'all worried about these trees in this yard, but 5 years later, we are in an interesting and precarious situation because my dad was pretty meticulous about his vision for the yard, and he was a good vine dresser. And Diane and I have not been good vine dressers. So we just let it grow and be what it is. And now, after 5 years, some of our trees in our yard have grown out of control because they weren't being pruned along the way. And so they're producing branches in ways that aren't really aesthetically pretty to the yard. And now we got to do the hard work. We got to wait till the wintertime, till the branch becomes bitter and hard so that we can cut the branches off. Because right now they're thriving. And we can't prune out the stuff because it's too much work. And we could damage the tree. So we have to wait till winter comes to cut off the branches to get the tree. And in many ways, we'll never be able to get it back to where it was heading to begin with. We can do the best we can, but some of this stuff we can't do because we've let it gone on too far. God loves us. He made us and he knows us. He knew that you were going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. He knows that you are attached to his son. And so those whom he loves, he chastens. And a lot of times we don't want to experience the chastening of the Lord. We don't want to be pruned. He ain't hurting us, but he is refining us to produce the fruit that we're supposed to produce in the earth. And so whether you bad or you good, you're getting cut. That's what verse 2 is saying. That's a little aside for you. Look at verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you are looking at your own life and you are not seeing that you are producing fruit, then either you're not allowing yourself to be pruned, or you're not attached to the vine. It's very simple. If you're attached to the vine, you will produce fruit. If you're not attached to the vine, you won't produce fruit. And back in Matthew 7, Jesus said, and I gotta read it, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. So if you're a good tree and you're connected to the vine, you must produce good fruit. So on the one hand, if you don't see the evidence of what you have been believing God for in terms of fruit, if it's not evident in your life, you need to, one, check to make sure that you're connected to the vine. And two, you got to understand that you will bear good fruit. And a lot of times Satan wants you to believe that you won't because you're not bearing fruit. But you could be in a pruning season. You could be in a wintering season and not disconnected, but dormant. And so you can't let Satan fool you into thinking that you are bad, because he wants you to think you're bad so you'll shrivel up and die and produce no fruit and become disconnected from the vine. So we've been given, and I'm bringing it home today. It hurt all our feet today. We've been given a charge this year. And we've been given charges in past years, before. And we're supposed, each one's supposed to reach one. We're supposed to reach one, not just for salvation, but for membership, which means at the end of the year, we should be doubling. And it's July now, and we're looking pretty much the same as we started. And so you've got to ask yourself, am I connected with the vine? And if you are connected with the vine, then you will bear fruit. You got to walk by faith and not by sight and know, I'm going to produce fruit. I'm going to reach one. And as you're thinking about what we've been charged to do in the first half of the year, we talked about this, you're supposed to be changing your prayer life. You're supposed to be changing your daily confession. Are you confessing daily that you are reaching one for salvation, that you're a planter and a waterer, and that God is giving the increase? Are you doing the spiritual work for that? Because that's your connection to the vine. You feel different when you start every day saying, I plant and I water, and you give the increase. It takes the pressure of increase off you. It's not your job. Just like it's not your job to prune yourself. You got to stay in your lane and your role. All you're supposed to do is stay connected to Jesus and yield yourself to produce. And so you can't be discouraged because it's July and you don't have fruit manifesting yet. It may not be your season yet to produce your fruit of one for church membership or your fruit of one for salvation. And you know that you plant in water. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. You really planted right there. You watered right there. Let me get the increase. Because it's on God. So it goes both ways. But it says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We become disciples of Christ when we abide in him and his word abides in us. And then we can ask what we will and it'll be done so that, we like to skip verse 8, by this, my Father is glorified. So he's not just giving you stuff to give you stuff. It's for the glory of God. So you got to make sure that what you ask of him glorifies God and is aligned with the word of God. So being into the vine is very important. You can't get disconnected, which means the things that would pull you away from being connected to the vine, you got to get rid of. And God is about the business of getting rid of those things in your life. That's why some of your friends ain't your friends no more. That's why you don't hang with some of them family members no more. That's why you done cut off those significant others that shouldn't be significant to you anymore. He's pruning you so that you can bear fruit. Amen? Now go back over to Matthew chapter 7, so we can finish a few more verses. Amen? Amen? And I want you to read verses 21, 22, and 23 with me. Now brace yourself, because you're going to want to pause and say, just keep reading. We're going to read it again. Verses 21, 22, and 23 with me. Are you ready? Let's begin. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Give God a praise offering for the word. Y'all, this Jesus talking. I ain't telling you this. He said. Jesus said, as he is telling you to beware of false prophets, he's speaking to us. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The word says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, so we know confession is a part of that. You can't be quiet and be saved. But the other part says, and believe in your heart. When you believe something, then you know it's going to come to pass. If I don't have faith that this chair is going to hold me, I won't just plop my butt in this chair. I have to believe that it's going to hold me. If I don't believe it's going to hold me, I won't sit down. And I know you know because you done been around them chairs that look suspect and you like, I'm just going to stand. I'm good. Because that chair, especially if you got a little size on you like me, because you know, you got to know. I done seen some people break chairs and it ain't pretty because you big and then you break the chair and then you on the ground and it hurts. So if you're not sure of a thing, if you're not sure a car is going to run, if you're not sure a roller coaster is going to be safe, you don't get on it. You don't get in it. If you're not sure somebody's sober enough to drive, you don't let them drive. If you all sober and you don't think that person can drive, you don't let them drive. You think I'm riding with Diane next week? No. She having eye surgery. We ain't riding. She can ride with me, but I ain't riding with her. You've got to believe that God is who he says he is. And the problem with some people is that they have confessed. They came up in church and they said it out loud, but they didn't believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. This was, what year is this, 2025? This was 1999. The ladies went up to see Pastor D.D. Freeman at a conference. I had to work. I just got the tapes. And the tapes changed my life. I sat in my car and cried. Because that lady said, if you believe in salvation, then you won't do some of the stuff you're doing. You can't say you believe and then keep doing the same stuff that you were doing. And some of us in the past and some of us in the present have confessed, but you don't believe. This is why we offer salvation every single week, because somebody done confessed and don't believe. And we know you don't believe because you're not bearing fruit. And we can't tell that you saved from the people that are saved. It doesn't have to be a great period. It has to be growth, though. You should be growing and maturing in the same in the things of God. You should look back over the course of a year and say, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. It should be something different. And so Jesus is calling out people who said, you cried, Lord, Lord, but you don't do the will of my Father in heaven. So you can't say I'm saved and not do the will of the Father in heaven. That's confession without belief. Because if you believed it, you would do it. A lot of us get paid next week. I get paid on the 15th. I get paid today, but that's beside the point. I get paid on the 15th, and I believe the money is going to hit my account tomorrow at 5:01. Because I have a credit union, and that's when my money roll. So at 5:01 tomorrow, I'm going to act like I got paid. Now, I can trust and verify, but I don't believe that my job is not going to pay. They've never not paid me. So I'm going to believe my money gonna dry, and it's gonna be there. I've already set up payments for things that are due. I paid bills yesterday. So I already paid some bills that are due next week. I prepaid on the basis that everything's gonna work out. So when you believe on a thing, you act on a thing. When you get in your car and your car says, I have gas in it, you drive accordingly. Sometimes to our detriment, our instruments be broken. But we say, it say half a tank, it's half a tank. We had to run out of gas before we believe that it didn't happen. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, why aren't you doing what he's called you to do? That's your evidence and belief that what you confess is what you confess. And people don't want to accept that. They just want to say it and then not have any correlating faith to do it. The word says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please him without faith. Your first act of faith was confessing and believing. And so Jesus is calling out all those who are being ironic. They said, he said, people are going to say, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I did these wonders in your name. How can I not be saved? But the word, God's word, is not going to return to him void. And so the miracle could have occurred and you not believe because you were holding on to a fruit, but you weren't really bearing fruit from within you. That's why you have to be aware of false prophets. That's why you have to have your own relationship with God. That's why you got to study the word for yourself so you'll know where this fruit is coming from. Because you don't know when and how people are operating. Sometimes that's good. It keeps you in the straight and narrow with the things of God. Amen? Amen. Look up at verse, and this is the last part of Matthew that we're going to be looking at today. Go back up to verse 13. I'm just kicking all our butts today. Verse 13 and 14, we're going to read it together. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 on the count of three. One, two, three. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Give God a praise offering for the word. Once again, Jesus says to enter by the narrow gate. And what we're finding in our society now is this push to have religion. They say these millennials, and I'm not really a millennial, I'm more Gen X, because I had baby boomers as parents. So they say that this generation of people who are having children now has been abused in church environments. And we have. If the church is honest, we admit it. They had us following all these rules that didn't really account for anything, and people are running away from the rules. They want to know God, but they don't want to do all that because they could never have no fun when they were kids. So they run away from the church, and they are finding religion on Instagram, and they are finding religion on the web and not bringing their structures into the sanctuary. And you don't have to be in the sanctuary, but you can't forsake yourself of the assembling of the believers, no matter how your church chooses to assemble. We assembled for a whole year without being together. So it ain't about coming actually into the sanctuary, but being a contributing part. And so the belief is, I can still believe that God is who he is and not do all that. And Jesus is telling us today that ain't true. He said, enter by the narrow gate, not the wide gate. Back in the day, it used to be that the main gate to the city was the wide gate. It was easy to get in there. But when it came to security measures, they would close the wide gate because that kept the enemy out. And so if you were trying to go through the wide gate, you weren't getting in.
And there was always a smaller, narrow gate. They used to call it the eye of the needle, and it would be very difficult for people to enter into the eye of the needle, which was the narrow gate. And so it's harder to go in the narrow gate. And so you have to be very careful to walk the narrow path and not the wide path, because the wide path ain't gonna lead to life. It's going to lead you everywhere. That's what Jesus said. Okay, y'all don't believe me. Flip over. You know, I just got the word. Flip over to Luke chapter 13. I ain't got to fool up with y'all today. I'm just giving you what Jesus said. Luke chapter 13. And when you get there, say, I have it. Y'all are there before me. Luke chapter 13. And I'm going to read verses 24, 25, 26, and I want you to read 27 and 28 with me. Amen? Luke chapter 13, verse 24. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Begin. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Give God a praise offering for the word. Jesus said you might as well get on through that narrow gate. Because when the master closes the gate, which means when the Son of Man returns, when Jesus Christ comes to come back to get his church, and you say, I knew you. I went to church every Sunday. I was participating in this, that, and the other. And Jesus is like, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me. I don't know you. And there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth based on those people who thought they were saved but were not saved. And so you got to know that you know that you know. And it should be reaffirmed every day in the way that you act. Because if you know that Jesus is Lord, then you know that doing certain things disrespect him. You know that doing certain things do not bring glory to him. Now, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have 1 John 1:9, if we mess up, but if we just choose to dwell in sin, you are basically making the argument that you don't believe. You may acknowledge that there is a God, but that's not the barrier for salvation. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you've got to believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life. And so you got to know it. And if you don't want to be left outside the gate, you got to stick to the narrow path. If you're walking through life and salvation seems real easy for you, you ain't on the narrow path. You ever had to squeeze through a place to get someplace or squeeze through two people and it's all uncomfortable and you like, ooh, yeah, I'm getting real familiar with you because I got to do all that to squeeze through? That is how salvation should feel. It should not feel like a comfortable path through. It should be a narrow gate. Because to change, to renew your mind, to understand the word of God is an intense process. It's a joyful process. It's not like you're going through and you're suffering. He is with you. He's imbuing you with power. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. But you gonna go through some things, and he gonna be pruning you in the process. And if you expect it to look like that, then you'll understand what it feels like. And you won't let yourself be disconnected from the vine. This whole passage is about vine disconnection. If you don't know what the fruit should look like, if you're not seeing the fruit produced in your life, you've got to check yourself. And I wish I could say that every day I felt like I was saved, but that ain't the truth. Just be real. I ain't feel saved every day. I didn't feel like I was walking with my hand in the Lord's hand every day. I'm just very aware of how many days it is when I ain't holding on to his hand. I may let go one day, but too many days in a row, and you can find yourself outside the gate. And some people have let go for years. It's like they never held to his hand at all. And this is the challenge that Jesus is warning us about in Matthew 7. You got to know people by their fruits. And so if you have those people in your life who keep saying, they say, I know Jesus, and they may go to church every week and not be saved. Going to church every week is not salvation. You can look good all you want to and still not be saved. It's about confession, belief, and walking through the narrow gate. Not being out there, just doing what you want to do. Because I can be saved and do what I want to do. That's not salvation. That's a convenient view. And how awful is it going to be for those people? It ain't going to be me. For those people to know the sacrifice of Jesus' life for them and still not really believe to the point where they want to modify what they do and then get left behind. They sitting on here on earth with all the knowledge of what is going on, and all they can do is tell the people that's left over what has happened. I'm going to be gone. Don't want to be a part of that number. I'm going to be gone. And be in the presence of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to be caught up in the air. I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do on earth right now. Our time on earth is so short compared to eternity with Christ. And so we have to be really wise in the way that we're moving. Amen? Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I think I'm got out of order, but it's all good. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And when you get there, say, I have it. Okay, we're looking at 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start at verse 13. We're looking at verses 13, 14, and 15. I'm going to read 13, and I want you to read 14 and 15 with me. I'm actually going to read 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Begin. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Give God a praise offering for the word. So Paul's like, I'm out here doing the best I can to bring the gospel of Christ, because they're going to be busy doing what they do. And so if Satan transforms himself into a minister of light, why are we surprised when there are false prophets who tend to be able to do a little trick or two to get us off the path?
if Satan's been doing it, and Satan been doing it since the beginning, he got Eve off the game. Come on, y'all. You need the Lord. Satan is good at what he does. He evil. He real good at the evil. If he can transform himself into an apostle of light, then don't be surprised that the people that work for him can transform themselves into apostles of light. Flip over to 1 John chapter 4. So what do we do about it? 1 John chapter 4. And when you get there, say, I have it.
I have it.
Praise God. All right, we got two or three, but we're going to let the rest of y'all get there. Praise God, praise God. We're in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 1 together. 1 John 4, 1, on the count of three. One, two, three. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Give God a praise offering for the word. So what you're supposed to do is not believe every spirit, but test them. Test means to allow, discern, and examine. So you're not supposed to believe, but you're supposed to discern every spirit. You're supposed to examine every spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Look at verse 2. By this you know the spirit of God. So John is giving us the cheat code. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is now already in the world. But look at verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Give God a praise offering. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Yeah, it's difficult to suss out false prophets and people that don't mean you good. But they out there, which Jesus warned us about before he even rose again to be with the Father. And then John is telling us they still out there, but guess what? We overcome because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. As long as you're assured of who's in you, then that's greater than what you find in the world. And that's at every level of salvation. When you think back to when you first got saved, you don't see it, but God was really protecting you because he made an investment in you for salvation. He determined you with a purpose. So he had you guarded so that you could grow and mature in the things of God and you wouldn't get snuffed out. You just didn't realize it then. When you prayed when you were younger, he would just give it to you so that you would know that he was a provider for you, that he was a protector for you, and then it's your responsibility to grow. It's like having a starter pack. We get a measure of faith when we are born again. So you had a measure of faith, and it sustained you until you could get into this word and get to know him for yourself. And at every stage, God has been there, because greater is he that's in you than you, he that's in the world. All you got to do is stay connected to the vine. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Give God a praise offering for the word. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. In the Amplified, it says, I am the good shepherd, and I know and recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me. Don't worry that God ain't seeing you. Don't worry that you're not going through the gate, because he says, I know my people, and my people know me. I know you, and you know me. You ever not seen a family member for a long time? A long, long time? And you looking at that person like, is that so-and-so? But I know you. I see your traits in me, and you see my traits in you. And so you don't have to worry if you're really connected with the vine about God knowing you or saying, I don't know you. There's no betrayal in him because you know him and he knows you. You look like him because you're following him, and he knows what you look like because you're doing what he says. And you don't ever have to worry. So this isn't to scare you, but it's to let you know that you know people by their fruits, and so you can't act like everybody who calls on Jesus, who says, praise the Lord, loves the Lord, has a relationship with the Lord. We all know to say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but that ain't getting you to heaven. That's not the way. And so you have to know people by their fruits, which means you got to look at the fruit they're producing. If you are hanging out with folks and they ain't producing no fruit, they may not be in the vine. And after a while, they should be producing something that looks like faith in God. And if you are consistently, if they're consistently coming up and it ain't so, then that ain't their fruit. They bad fruit. And they're going to be cut out and burned. And you don't want to get caught up with the branch that's about to be removed. Amen? Give God a praise offering for the word. Praise the Lord.